May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Happy birthday, Church. Today we are celebrating Pentecost, the birthday of the Church. And when I say Church, I mean you and me, the people of God, the body of Christ, not the building, not the organization or denomination, for we are the Church. So, happy birthday, Church.
Happy birthday.
Yay. Thank you. Most Christians would not imagine having a year go by without celebrating the holidays of Christmas and Easter. It is understood by all Christians, no matter how long or how short their relationship with God has been, that no Christian calendar is complete without the observance of these two events. Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus and the beginning of his ministry of redemption on earth. Easter celebrates the resurrection of Jesus and God's ultimate victory over sin and death. If I were to announce that our church was not going to observe Christmas and or Easter anymore, you rightfully could say we would be turning our back on events that are central to our understanding of what it means to be a Christian and what it means to belong to the church, the body of Christ. However, there is a third holiday, a third observance, a third sacred event that is just as central to our understanding of what it means to be a Christian. That third event is called Pentecost Sunday. This third great day in the Christian calendar is rooted in the story in Acts 2, which you read this morning, and celebrates the day when the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles who were gathered in Rome and Jerusalem. It is Pentecost that enables the gift of faith by which you and I can know that the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are for us. Jesus was not finished when he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. He sent back to us and gave us the greatest gift of all, the gift of his own Spirit to live with us. Jesus reminded the disciples and us that the work of the Spirit is not to draw attention to himself, but to point to Jesus. Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the light in a dark night. Jesus is the good shepherd, the door, the bread of life. Jesus is God's Messiah. Jesus is the Savior of the world. The work of the Holy Spirit is to take what belongs to Jesus and make it known, bringing glory to Jesus in the process. So what happened to those of Jesus' followers who were gathered together? Only 50 days ago, they were huddled behind locked doors, trembling and afraid for their lives. Today, on the day of Pentecost, they were confronting crowds in public, boldly proclaiming their faith. The night before Jesus' crucifixion, he had talked with his friends and told them many things. One thing was about the Holy Spirit. Jesus had said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another advocate." The Greek word is paraclete, here translated as advocate, speaks of one who draws alongside. The same word can be translated helper, counselor, encourager, or comforter. Jesus identifies this other comforter as the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in Jesus' name, who will teach you all things. Jesus encourages his disciples in the face of the prospect of his own departure and in the face of persecution. If I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Here in John 15:26, Jesus says that he will send the Comforter from the Father, and identifies him as the Spirit of truth who comes from my Father. He will testify on my behalf. The Holy Spirit is the invisible presence and power of God. He is God. The Spirit is placed in the life of every believer at the moment they begin to trust Jesus. He is the one who opens our eyes to see Jesus through the eyes of faith. If you think about it, it takes faith to believe in the Holy Spirit too. We can't see him. Throughout history, he has appeared as a dove and in fire and in water, but never apart from these physical elements. The Bible doesn't talk about him very much, and he doesn't want the attention. Jesus compared him to the, compared the work of the Spirit to the blowing of the wind. You can see what it does, but you can't actually see the wind. So it is with the Holy Spirit. Jesus sends us this Holy Spirit to remind us that our hope is not seen, it is unseen. Our hope and our joy is the fact that our sins are forgiven. The Spirit's main job, as Jesus says, is to testify about the Savior and to cause people to understand and to believe all things that Jesus has done for them. Like Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the nature and love of God dwelling with us. But Jesus dwelt in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit dwells everywhere throughout the world and in all time. The Holy Spirit's role is to enable us to cling to Jesus as our righteousness and our salvation. Jesus has accomplished our salvation. He has died for our sins. He has risen from the dead. He is coming to judge the living and the dead. What a precious gift this invisible person is. It is more precious than gold, this gift of the Holy Spirit, because of what he says to us and how he keeps us connected to Jesus. About 3,000 people were added to the church that day as they were baptized and believed in the words that Peter and the disciples spoke to them about Jesus. Through simple words and water, the Holy Spirit united them together. People from all over, under the blood and righteousness of Jesus. What a gift to them. Pentecost still happens today. The Holy Spirit comes to us and lives with us, lives within us. The Holy Spirit takes the gifts of God, which Jesus purchased by his death and resurrection, and applies them to our lives. He takes the message of Jesus and writes it in our hearts. This is such a wonderful gift, this gift of Pentecost, the gift of the Spirit, the gift that keeps on giving. I invite you to celebrate this third great holiday of the Christian faith, which is Pentecost. I invite you to open your hearts to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen.